the lower level now. Well, last week we noted that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This morning I'd like to push that out a little bit further and to consider how faith is to be a part of daily life, daily living. And a basis for this, to get us started, I'd like us to think of what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39. By the way, for those of you that are using an actual Bible, you might just keep it open to Hebrews this morning, because a lot of the key points are going to be coming from this part of God's Word. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." Please note that. The just shall live by faith. "But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now, this is telling us that we need to move on with the Lord. Being a Christian is not just a matter of, by faith, trusting Christ as Savior. I mean, it's that. That's the starting point, though. You and I are to continue by faith, following Jesus. We continue to live for the Lord. We continue to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us. We continue to follow Jesus in daily life. So, what does it look like to live by faith? Well, there are many things that could be said regarding this, and this will not be a comprehensive treatment of that this morning, but for our purposes today, let's consider four things that we discover in this particular book of the Bible, in Hebrews. First of all, living by faith involves believing what God has said. It involves believing what God has said. So I'm turning now to Hebrews 4, looking at verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 4, verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." I've read about a man who missed out on a great opportunity. His friend took him one day out into the countryside, and they drove off the main road, and they drove through groves of trees, and they came to a large uninhabited expanse of land, and there were a few horses that were out there grazing, and there were some shacks that were out there, and that was about it. Now, the friend's name was Walter, and he stopped the car, he got out, and he started to describe with great vividness the wonderful things that he was going to build. And he wanted his friend Arthur to buy into this. He wanted Arthur to buy some of the land surrounding what his project was going to be, so he could, you know, get in on the ground floor. But Arthur thought to himself, who in the world is going to drive 25 miles to come out here to this crazy project he's talking about? Well, the logistics of the venture seemed a bit staggering, and so Walter explained it a bit more to his friend Arthur. He said, "I can handle the main project myself, but, you know, it's going to end up taking all of my money. But the land bordering it, you know, where we're standing now, in a couple years, wow, this is just going to be jammed with hotels and restaurants and, you know, convention centers and And all of this, you know, to accommodate all of the people that are going to be coming out here. They're going to be coming to spend their entire vacation at my park. And he continued saying, I want you to have the opportunity be the first chance at the surrounding acreage, because in the next 5 years, this thing is going to increase in value several hundred times. It's going to. Well, what could I say? Arthur tells the story years later. He said, I knew he had let this dream get the best of his common sense. So I mumbled something about, tight money situation. And I would promise that I would look into the entire thing a little later on. And so it was that Art Linkletter had turned down the opportunity to buy the land, what would become Disneyland. You see, Art's friend Walter was Walt Disney. Some of you caught on to that or knew that story. Yeah. What an opportunity that could have been his if he would have really put stock in what Walter was saying. The scripture we're looking at this morning from Hebrews chapter 4 talks about a people missing out on what could have been theirs to enjoy. They could have had it. It could have been theirs. It should have been theirs. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So, a person that is living by faith believes what God has said and acts upon it. And it's not Walt Disney now that is speaking in the scriptures, but it's the Lord of the universe that has spoken and continues to speak to us through his word and through his spirit. Hebrews 10:23, in referring to the Lord, says, he who promised is faithful. And the MSG puts that same passage, he always keeps his word. So how do you and I respond to what God has said, to what he has brought before us, to what he wants us to enter into? Do we take him at his word? Do we believe him? Do we embrace what God is calling us to? Or do we miss opportunities big time? Peter, in his second epistle, points out that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4. So to live by faith then is to embrace, it's to stand upon these promises given in his word. And the thing of it is, we can do so with assurance because we have confidence that he is a promise keeper. He keeps his word. All right, a second thing we want to notice is that living by faith involves moving on with the Lord. Involves moving on with the Lord. We have this spoken to in Hebrews chapter 6 now, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, isn't it true that parents become concerned if they have a baby or a child that seems to not be progressing the way that they think, or the way perhaps that is tends to be normal and customary? So for some reason that the child is not growing the way the child ought to, perhaps, or not developing at a particular age when often children start walking or talking or this or that or whatever. And so out of that concern, then a parent will likely see a doctor or a specialist and look into that. Because infants and toddlers and adolescents, we anticipate or we expect that they will develop or will progress in a particular fashion. Now, what was it that triggered the exhortation that I just read here in verses 1 and 2? Well, some people were not making the kind of spiritual progress that they should have. And to get the picture, I'd like you to notice what was said in the verses immediately preceding these. So we're backing up now into chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. Because you notice in 6:1 where I started has the word therefore, so it actually is a continuation. 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, to live by faith is to move on in such a way that one is growing to spiritual maturity. And according to what we just read, what we just saw here is that that was not the case with everybody. Not everyone was maturing. Some folks never got beyond the basics. Some folks never got out of elementary school, so to speak. Some folks never got to the place where they were able to share with others and to mentor others and to encourage others in the faith, which is to be a natural outgrowth of one becoming spiritually mature. So that begs the question then, what kind of progress are you and I making? Are we moving ahead? Are you and I able to digest solid spiritual food? The exhortation in Hebrews 6:1 is, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, don't let that word perfection scare you, because the word perfection actually means maturity. If we're living by faith from day to day, then there should be a spiritual maturity that develops, that enables us to trust the Lord, and thus, and thereby, to be of help to other people in the faith. The other day, it really surprised me, Diane, when Michaela, this is our youngest granddaughter, she was at the house, and she said, well, sort of, you know, how you sing through A, B, C, D, E, F, G. She did the ABCs. And I'm like, wow. Now, if she continues to learn the alphabet, she will at some point, I assume, be actually reading stories and progresses on, will be reading textbooks and progresses on, will be reading who knows what kind of manuals and whatever. I have no clue, you know. Where will this lead vocationally? Well, I have to stay tuned to that one. I have no idea. But we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's out of Peter, 2 Peter 3:18. And it's not just learning a bunch of Bible trivia in case we end up on Jeopardy someday, you know. But it's that we might put into practice our faith, living for the Lord, serving Him, and using the gifts that have been entrusted to us. You know, that's what it's about here. Moving on with the Lord. Now, third thing we want to make note of this morning is that living by faith involves maintaining an eternal perspective. Maintaining an eternal perspective. And I'm going to turn now to that classic chapter, Hebrews 11, looking at verses 8 to 16. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of us would launch out not having some things scheduled and in place, reservations made, tickets bought, you know, all of that stuff. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. There's that word promise again. We've heard that quite a bit this morning already, including that wonderful song the choir did. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You start to see the eternal perspective, don't you? By faith, verse 11, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, in last Tuesday's Rejoice devotional, Cheryl Lee Gerber told of moving seven times the first 10 years that they were married. And I'm like, are you kidding? And I think she thought that as well when they were smack dab in the middle of moving seven times in their first 10 years of marriage. She said, some moves have been difficult. Nonetheless, I sensed God's leading each time we made a stressful move. She didn't just say move, but each time we made a stressful move. Part of the challenge with moving is not being aware of everything that lies ahead, or of not knowing what things will be like. It reminds me of my first visit. I think I was here in the fellowship hall at an overseer's meeting once upon a time years ago. But the first visit, Diane and I, we didn't know much about the community here. So we saw a grocery store and a gas station and a place that was called the Idle Hour Restaurant in downtown North Lima. At that point, in fact, I think we had started to go up Market Street a little bit, but turned around and came back. It didn't look like there was much of anything up there, you know. Had we gone a little further, about 5 miles up the road, we would have had a completely different sense of what lay ahead, or, you know, what was there. But at that point, we really were oblivious to that. And that was okay. The thing really that mattered at that point was whether or not God was calling us here or not. I mean, that was the crucial thing. We didn't move because the Idle Hour seemed such an appeal. We moved because we felt the Lord calling us to. But regardless of what kind of apartment or house or neighborhood or community that we live in, we need to remember that this is not our final destination. According to verse 10, Abraham waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And there's more, actually, in verses 13 to 16, folks like Noah and Abraham and Sarah had an eternal perspective. How do we know that? They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You saw that, verse 13. They declare plainly that they seek a homeland, verse 14. They desire a heavenly country, verse 16. So, again, this all begs the question, you know, whenever we're exposed to the scriptures, it begs questions of ourselves. Are you and I living by faith? And do we have an eternal perspective in that we look beyond just the temporal? We also are thinking about the eternal. Do we keep in mind that our citizenship is in heaven? Just the other day, there were 14 from a variety of countries that became United States citizens in Youngstown. Picture was in the paper. What a neat group of people. But at the same time, we are citizens, yes, of an earthly kingdom, but do we remember that yet there's something much more significant than that? As Christians, our citizenship lies in heaven. Do we think about the fact that God is preparing a place for his people? On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." And he went on to say, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go," he said, "to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14, 1-3. So, to live by faith is to be assured of that which God has promised, and it is to maintain an eternal perspective, looking beyond just what's smack dab in front of us at the moment. Now, the fourth thing I wanted to highlight is this. Living by faith involves looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, and we see this explicitly stated in chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, who are the people in this throne of witnesses? Or cloud of witnesses, rather. One of the persons we didn't make note of a moment ago was Moses. And what an example he left us. I'd like you to notice what is said of Moses here. Still in chapter 11 again, I should say, verses 24 and 25. Says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Now, been to Egypt, saw some of the things in the museums, saw the pyramids and all that, and wow. When I think of the fact that Moses had everything at his disposal that came with being part of a royal family, and yet he opted to lay it aside, why did he do it? He did it that he might be all in with the Lord. Now, Moses laid aside an incredible bunch of stuff that could have been at his fingertips, at his access. Is there something that you and I ought to lay aside because it becomes a hindrance to our giving full allegiance to Jesus. Is there something that we would do well to let go of so that we would have greater freedom to run the race that has been set before us as a Christian? You know, we find encouragement and inspiration from godly men and women that have gone on before us. We see what it looks like when individuals, men and women, believers, have ended well. But we too need to stay focused. We too need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We too need to continue looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Lord, we do praise you today and thank you for your calling upon our lives to be your people, to be people of faith. And thank you that you have placed us in communities of people where faith is lived out and we can be of mutual encouragement and blessing. So please continue to be at work in our church and help us to take you at your word, Lord. Lord, there may be people here today that for some reason are discouraged or disappointed. I pray that you would provide for them, perhaps even now, a promise from your word that they can rest upon. Perhaps there are people here today that may be confused or in a state of waiting. We pray that you would continue to provide assurance, provide something from your word, Lord, that would provide stability or guidance or help. Help us, Lord, that we might indeed have the kind of vision to see things from your perspective. Bless our flock today who are in Kenya and Nigeria, who may need a special word of encouragement as well in their context. So we continue to look to you, rejoicing in you, praising you for who you are. We want to trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.